February, Chof Beishvat, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Majorities versus Religion.
Speak up.
So you put the microphone. No,
he has to speak up.
Good morning, everyone. Just a quick overview of what we're going to discuss today, Brizus Hashem. The topic, you all know, is actually a different title, but we have to change it, understandably. The topic is going to discuss in Yonei Emuna and in Yonei Shoichat. The exact details we'll see soon. I'm going to begin with four questions. We're going to come out with a tremendous yesod from Rukhon Wasserman in Kovit Spirim, and we're going to see how it relates to us in our daily lives constantly. I'm sure you'll know the rules. All of us have a job here. I'm the speaker, you're the listener. The challenge is for me to finish my job before you finish your job, and hopefully Mr. Shem will get there. Obviously, my aim is to have you riveted on the edge of your seats, not because you're trying to get the nerve to get up and walk out because it's terrible, but because it's something good, so hopefully we'll get there. So, to begin with, the title said like this, it said majorities versus religions. What I was referring to was the question which they asked Rabbi Yonis and Ibershitz was asked by one of the Chachamim Yisraelim, one of the Goyim. He said, it says in your Torah, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Mishpatim, Acharei Rabbim Lahatis. And you always go after the majority. And therefore, this guy asked Rabbi Yonis, if you always go after the majority, then why are you Jews not following Christianity? Maybe now there's a different religion, but you should be going after the majority. Acharei Rabbim Lahatis, follow the majority. We're much more than you, millions more than you. We're the majority, so you should follow us. That's what the guy asked Rabbi Yonis and Ibershitz. That's question number one. Okay, so now we're going to come to Rabbi Chanan's Kashas. He has four questions, Binyani and Munna. He asks like this. He says, Chazal came along and they said that we say every day in Kriya Shema, V'lo yisosuru acharei levavchem. A person shouldn't go after his heart. He shouldn't follow his heart, what his heart dictates him. And the Chazal darshan on this pasuk, acharei levavchem, zu minus. It's referring to an apikoros. The Torah is telling us you shouldn't follow the dictates of your heart. That means you should accept and understand that there is a God in the world. So Rav Chanan asks that normally an apikoros, someone, an atheist, someone who wants to deny the truthfulness of God, he's working with his logic. He's someone who sat down, he's thought about it, he's tried understanding it, and he said, listen, I've come out that there is no God. And therefore, if you're telling me that a person shouldn't say in the possible, don't go after your heart, it should say, don't follow your brain, your logic, don't follow what your logic tells you, and actually accept that there is a God in the world. What has the heart got to do with the fact that someone's not apikoros? There's no connection between them. That's question one that Rabbi Chanan asks. It shouldn't be levavchem, it should be da'atchem, because the da'at is where a person comes out with to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Question number two. He says, the Rambam begins with, and he says, in his first mitzvah Aleph, he says, Leida lahamin sheyesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's someone in the world, someone created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Says the Rambam, I don't understand. You can tell me when it comes to the chayvas o'ivorim, he calls it, that the mitzvahs which we have to do, or prohibitions which we're not allowed to do, so you can tell me either do it, or don't do it. Dainu, I want to do something, but the Torah said, you're not allowed to do it. Or I don't want to do something, but the Torah said, you have to do it. Whether you like it or not, you have to do this action. Or whether you like it or not, you can't do this action. That's very understandable. There's things we want to do, we're not allowed. But says Rabbi Chanan, how can you come along and tell me, believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've tried, I've thought about it, I've tried things, and I don't believe in him. How can you force someone to believe? You can take the guy, you can beat him up, you can do what you want. So he'll tell you with his mouth, I believe, but he doesn't. He's tried, he's thought about it, he doesn't believe. What's it got to do with the guy? The poor guy. He's working his guts out, he's trying to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't. So why are you blaming this person for not believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's question number two. Question number three, he says, he quotes the Rambam's famous letter, you would have been Tibbon, that the Rambam wrote in one of his letters that Aristo, one of the philosophers who was in his time, was so clever that his wisdom was just beneath the level of prophecy. The Rambam writes, this guy was just brilliant, one of the cleverest people we had in the world, Aristo, and his wisdom was just beneath Nevuah. That's what the Rambam writes about him. So Chanan says like this, Aristo wasn't Jewish, he was a philosopher, and he didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was an atheist. So you've got this Greek philosopher, who's absolutely brilliant, and he denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're telling me that every 12-year-old girl, 13-year-old boy, These puny little scrawny kids, as soon as they reach adulthood, oh, you have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't understand. The greatest guys have grappled with this question, is there a God or not? And you're telling these little children, and even us, you're telling everyone, you have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm saying, he couldn't, and you expect me too. I'm saying, but why? How can such a thing be, says Rabbi Chanan, that the greatest minds couldn't fathom it, and you actually expect me to go and fathom it and understand it? That's question three that he asks. And question number four, the last question, he asks is, that by the goyim we know that we'll have to keep seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. They have to keep seven certain mitzvahs that they've got that they have to guard. So says Rabbi Chanan, imagine you've got this guy, a shepherd, in the middle of the mountains, looking after his sheep all day long. He's having the time of his life. He doesn't know anything about, he doesn't know anything about anyone. He's never met any, he's just about met a few people in his life. The guy dies, he goes up there, and then God's like, so, you haven't kept any mitzvahs. He's like, sorry, I'm in the wrong entrance, I'm going somewhere else. He's like, no, you're in the right entrance, and you haven't kept anything. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because was like, listen, every single guy in the world has to keep Shema mitzvahs, but no, yeah, he didn't keep them. He's like, what mitzvahs? No one told me about any mitzvahs. But he's going to get punished for it. Says Rabbi Chanan, I don't understand, what did the poor guy do wrong? He had no idea, no one ever told him. He was brought up in the farm, he was brought up in the mountains, he never saw any type of humanity, no one ever taught him anything. So how do you expect this guy to come along and guard seven mitzvahs? What are the four questions that Rabbi Chanan asked? So number one, he asked, what does it mean that we say v'lo yisosur achrei levavchem zu minus? It should say v'lo yisosur achrei da'atchem, because our pikorsos is a result of the mind, the logic, refusing to admit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Question number two, he asks, is that he understands that you can force someone to do mitzvahs or not to do averus, but you can't force someone to believe it. Either they do or they don't. Question number three, he asks, is that if someone like Aristo, the greatest minds, couldn't fathom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do you expect us to fathom HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And question number four, he asks, is why are the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, why are the Goyim going to get punished for not guarding it? L'chaira, they've done nothing wrong, they had no idea about it. These are Rabbi Chanan's four questions.
He mentions Aristotle?
Yes, he mentions Aristo, yes. So they bring down the Chovis Halvavos. The Chovis Halvavos is a beautiful piece. Where he begins with, he says he heard that there's a phenomenon in the world that people deny the veracity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they say that it's B'mikra. The world came B'mikra. And he writes some absolutely astounded conversations for such a thing. And the first thing he quotes is, that he says like this, he says, we all know when a person wants to put his mind to something, the only way that something good will come out of it is if he actually puts his mind to it. But if you do something without putting your mind to it, nothing will come out of it. For instance, he says, if you have, we all know the famous mashal, if you have a pot of ink lying on your desk and it spills over, whether you like it or not, and as hard as you try, no nice writing is going to emerge from this ink which is spilled from the paper in front of you. Because there was no kavana when you, in trying to write something, it's just something spilled over, so nothing can come out. So says the Chovis Halvavos, you look around us, he says, you've got a world in front of us, you've got people, you've got animals, you've got universes, you've got flowers, you've got trees, you've got vegetables. He says, how on earth can someone come along and say that the world came about in Mikra? He says, it doesn't make sense. There's so much wisdom, there's so much plan, there's so much infinite intelligence, he says, that it's not possible to say that it came about by mistake, because to do something, in order to have something, a Dvar Chochma, come out of something, there has to have been Kavanah put into it. So how can you say that I've got something brilliant here where there was no Dvar Chochma put into it and it was all by mistake? That's what the Chovis Halvavos continues discussing there. And therefore he ends up and says it. He said it's something it's not really to speak about. It's just a load of rubbish. It can't be such a thing. I saw Rav Moshe Bedil brings out in his papers a famous story with Isaac Newton, whether it's true or not, but the actual story brings out the point where Isaac Newton built a whole model, a model of the solar planets, the solar system. And it took him a long time, all different cogs and things to make the wheels go round. It took him month and month. It was a tremendous piece. And one of his colleagues, an atheist, walks in and he says to him, wow, who made this piece? So he looked at him, Newton, and he said, no, it's just quite funny, actually. The window was open, the air conditioning was on, and when you open the doors, bam, that's it, it all came about. And his colleague looks at him, he's like, grow up, do you know what I mean? Talk sense. Someone has to have made such a piece. You can see there was wisdom. So he looked at him, Newton, and he said, listen to what your mouth is telling you. You're telling me that such a piece has to be made by someone. Because there's chokhmah in it. If there's chokhmah, that means there was kavanah, there was intention. So if you see a dvar chokhmah, it must be there's intention. So how can on earth can you say on the real world that it came about for mikra? That's what the Chovis Halvavos is telling us. So Ibn Zohi, he says, Rabbi Chanan, now we can start understanding. In this week's Parsha, the Parsha begins and says, B'sheichad loisikach, Once again, let's go back one stage. Sorry, Rav Chanan asks like this. He says, if we've just shown from the Chovis al Vavis that no one in their right mind, no one who's got stability, no one who's got a brain in their head, is going to deny that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you can look around and you can see that it was created, you can see that there was a designer, you can see someone planned it, then how on earth can it be that the greatest minds, that philosophers and goyim alike, denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, look around, you see it very, very clearly, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how taka can it be, says Rav Chanan, that someone can deny that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, that someone created the world? And he says like this, he quotes this pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, comes up in Parshas Devarim as well, someone who takes bribes, the Torah says, osa to take bribes, why? Because taking bribes is going to blind someone's eyes, it's going to cause you to go off the right path. Says Rabbi Chanan, let's speak it out. The Gemara comes along and explains that the sheichad, in order to be over, in order for someone to transgress this permission of sheichad, it's even by a shavar putta. That means you've got a judge presiding over a case, and someone gives them a shavar putta, which nowadays amounts to around 5 pennies, and if you really want to be machmir, let's say 10 pennies, so if someone takes that tiny amount of money, he's already been over on the issa d'oraisa of sheichad. That's number one, says Rabbi Chanan. Number two, sheichad is not applicable to certain people. It's applicable to every single Jewish person in the world. We're all in exactly the same boat, that there's an issa sheichad on us. So says Rabbi Chanan, take this scenario. You've got Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, they're judges, they're presiding over a case, and the guy comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, he gives him 10 pence. Says Rabbi Chanan, you're telling me that Moshe Rabbeinu, someone... you're telling me he's going to be bribed now? And he's going to try and work towards helping this guy who gave him the money? So it doesn't make a word of sense. He said he scared him to say the word out of his mouth. Moshe Rabbeinu, the G'dayli Olam are going to take dots of money, is going to make an impression on them and influence them to help this guy case he's judging. So Rabbi Chanan, it can't be. So Rabbi Chanan, the answer is that it can be, because if the Torah says it's going to happen, then it is going to happen, whether we understand it or not, because the Torah is reality. The Torah is telling us what life is, and the Torah tells us that this is going to happen. What's Pshat, says Rabbi Chanan? Says Rabbi Chanan, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the person, I'm going to say this over a few times, we have a difficult idea, but he says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, he created a person with his seichel, with his logic, with his brain, that he could think things through. But he also created a nefesh Adam, he created us with a nefesh. The nefesh is where the characteristics of man lies. And in this nefesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted a koyach called rotzim, called will, called desire, called wants. It's a koyach called rotzim. And this koyach called rotzim, says Rabbi Chanan, is so powerful, it's so tremendously powerful, says Rabbi Chanan, that it can overcome the seichel, and not only overcome the seichel's logic, but it can actually go into the logic of the seichel and make the logic think that it's doing the right thing. In Rav Chanan's words, the net HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mutbar, was tevea, he implanted in the nefesh ha'adam something called rotzim. And this rotzim is miskaber over the seichel ha'adam. The Haimu says, Rav Chanan, every single person has his brain and he has his rotzim. He has things he wants, but he also has his logic. Says Rav Chanan that when a judge presides over a case, and a guy comes along and gives him money in order to hint to him something, so now that he's got this money, says Rabbi Chanan, the Torah is telling us that his rotzen, his will, his desire is going to overcome his logic and tell him, first of all, it's going to interfere with his logic, and second of all, it's going to play around with his logic and tell him what he thinks is his logic, what's happening. That means 2 plus 2 is no longer 4. 2 plus 2 is 5. And it's 100% 5. This guy sees in front of him 2 plus 2 equals 5. Why? Because his rotzen wants it so much that he sees 5. Therefore, his rotzen plays around with his logic and makes him see 5. This guy is seeing the number 5 in front of him because that's what his rotzen wants him to do. That's the assault that Rabbi Chanan says we see from this parsha. Rabbi Chanan, it comes out unbelievable. If by the Kedoshei Elyon, by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Aaron HaKohen, by the Gedolei Olam, the Torah is telling us, whether you like it or not, the power of the rotzim is so powerful that it can influence your logic. And not only influence it, but actually make you think that this is your logic. Says Rabbi Chanan, lachas kama v'kama, when you're discussing non-Jewish people, when you're discussing people who do not want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, behedya, why? because non-Jewish people are people who they want to fulfill their desires. There's so much to do in the world. They want to have the time of their life. And if they come along and they look around and they see God, that means they're saying, ooh, we're subservient to someone else. There's a creator. If there's a creator, these people are clever. If there's a creator, it must be that he's got a plan in the world and he wants something done in the world. And what does he want in the world? It means I can't do whatever I want. So obviously a non-Jewish person is not going to want to see the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Achas Kama V'Kama by these people, the taiva, the soinus of these people is going to influence them tremendously and blind them from seeing the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it's obvious that they're going to find it very difficult. That's true. That even by Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, when we say that Sheikhad is going to influence, it depends on the Sheikhad. Obviously, if it's a small rotzen, because the guy gave me £2.50, and if I've got a massive brain, it's not going to play around too much. And the other way around as well. If I've got a massive rotzen and I haven't got the biggest type of brain, then obviously it's going to influence me very much. Depending on the amount of influence, depending on the man's desire, on his will to do something, and depending on how big his brain is, it's going to be how much he's playing around. But the yesod is there, the yesod is that no one, even Moshe Rabbeinu, if he accepts the smallest amount of money, a shavar pruta, no one can get out of the fact that he has been influenced and he is now under this spell of rotzim, which makes him think that he's using his logic. And therefore, says Rabbi Elchanan, the questions that we ask are no longer questions, says Rabbi Elchanan. Because we all understand if a guy's drunk, he could be the cleverest guy. But if he's drunk, then his brain is not going to be working like it should. He's fuzzy, he's wobbly, he can't think properly. The goyim, says Rabbi Elchanan, are drunk. They're drunk in their taivus, they're drunk in their etzainus, they're having the time of their life. They don't want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't want to be subservient to someone else. They don't want to accept that there's a creator in the world. So yes, Avad, if you come along and tell me, why does it say, how can Aristo, the greatest philosopher, not fathom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but about mitzvah, what you expect to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is yes. Because when it comes to the Aristo and the greatest minds, they don't want to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't want to see him. But the Chayim Tzavos has already explained to us, like we saw, that anyone who stops and looks around in the world, however small and puny his brain is, he will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will see there's a creator in the world. So yes, why do we expect a boy and a girl who's just turned 12 and 13 to believe in believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because looking around, you can see there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just the tightness, the rotzoinus of the person which don't want him to see, which clouds his vision, that's what stops him from seeing. That's in your hands already. You can overcome that. So the goyim couldn't because they've got their insanus, but you can. And that answer, says Rav Elchanan, the first question that we began with. We began with asking the question, but it's a sur achrei levavchem. Achrei levavchem, says Chazal, that refers to minus, apikorosos. And we ask, what do you mean apikorosos? Apikorosos is a result of the logic of the brain. The guy thought about it and he said, I've denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's it got to do with his heart? So Rav Elchanan, you got it wrong. If a person uses his brain, he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He looks around, he sees life, he sees people, he sees tremendous machines. We're pieces of machines, we're unbelievable pieces. We see trees, flowers, grass, he sees planets, he sees seas, he sees... We all know it's famous if the sun would be a drop near, it would be burnt to death. It would be a dot further, would be frozen to death. Says Rav Elchanan, and it's clear to all, novos, it's out of our voice. It's the retzainus of the person which stops a person from looking around and seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, say Chazal v'leisa surach v'levavchem. Don't follow your heart, because it's your heart that's causing you the problem. It's not your head. If you use your head, you'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At levavchem zuminus. That's how Rav Elchanan answers his first question. And says Rav Elchanan, to answer the next question that he asked about the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noyach, how can you expect any shepherd, any goy, to know that there was mitzvahs? He says the same answer. Listen, you were born in this world, whether you saw humanity or not, whether you were on a mountain, whether you didn't see anyone, whether someone taught you, whether you didn't, it doesn't make a difference. You were born, you saw a world around you. So let's think straight, says Rav Elchanan. You see there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see there's design, you see there's infinite intelligence, and you're telling me you honestly thought that this whole world was created for you to be able to shepherd your sheep and drink your beer at night and get drunk every night? Does that honestly make sense? If someone puts koyak into something, if someone tries to design something, is he making it for... He must have a purpose. Because you don't design and put koyach into something if you don't want something to come out of it. So if you've looked around and you've seen that there's a God in the world and there's someone who created it, how on earth can you turn around and say, well, I thought the world was for my enjoyment, no one told me. No one has to tell you. You just have to open your eyes. There's a God, there's intelligence, there's design. So he must want something out of it. So what does he want from me? So ask someone. But you can't claim that no one taught you. That claim is no longer there. And in answer to his other the other question that he asked, about the Chovei Sevarim. How can it be? Said Rav Chanan asked on the Rambam. The Rambam says the first mitzvah in the Torah is to believe. And he asked that Bishlo, when it comes to Chovei Sevarim, you can tell me do something or don't do something. But how can you force someone to believe? Either I do or I don't. The answer is, you're right. You can't force someone to believe. But anyone who wants to believe can believe, because it's so obvious. It's so simple. It's in front of your very eyes, Rav Chanan. You just have to look around and you'll see it. It's not, I'm not being mechayev to do anything. There's a mitzvah to be mamin. You know why? Because it's so posh. They look around and you'll see you are a mamin memela. It's just stopping. You have to stop yourself from your vision from getting blurry. That's the yesod that Rabbi Chanan says. So the question is, what's this yesod got to do with us? We have to remember this yesod that Rabbi Chanan saying. One second, before I forget, Rabbi Chanan quotes the Gemara. He doesn't quote Gemara. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin in Kesubas, a similar thing. The Gemara says, "Oh my Rabbi." Rabbi said, "My timer." The Sheikh Adol. What's the reason why the Torah forbids us from taking bribes? It says the Gemara, given the kibbul a Sheikh Adol, since a person accepts a bribe from someone, ikrave le daite le gabi. His mind gets close to this other guy, vahave kagufi. And this guy is like, it's him. The judge turns into this guy whose case he's presiding over. He is like this guy. And therefore, no one sees a chay for himself. If someone comes along and tells me there's something wrong with me, I'll start to beat the guy up. What do you mean? I'm perfect. No one wants to see chay for himself. Everyone thinks he is absolutely perfect. And therefore, says the Gemara, when you accept the bribe, Rashi explains, you become lev echot. You have the same lev as him. What does this mean? This is what Rabbi Chanan is telling us. That when a person accepts money from someone, when his desires, his ritzinus have been fulfilled, he becomes so strongly intertwined with this person that his logic already tells him that this person is definitely right and he's working for this person. It could be he doesn't realize. The guy's ne'elechid, he's got no idea. But it's all subconscious. He doesn't even realize it. But that's how it's going to be. The Torah is telling us that a rotzen of a person is so powerful that it can overcome your seichel and make your seichel think that this is the right thing to do. And this is why it's so important nowadays. We know when people have rabbonim in the world, what's the concept of having a rov? The concept of having a rov is someone that we know who's a Talmud Chacham, who's shichmoimi al kulam, the Hainui, someone who knows Torah, someone who knows halacha, someone who's overcome his yetzara, someone who can guide people. That's the whole idea of a rov, someone who's above us, we can speak to. That's the idea of a chover toiv, of having a good friend. I don't see chayv myself. I don't know what the guy's talking about and telling me there's something wrong with me. When I speak to a friend who doesn't care about me, Be'etzim, he just wants to help me. See, he can show me where I'm going wrong. He hasn't got the tzinus overcoming his seichel. He's just got the seichel. It's me who I don't want to see chayv for myself. Therefore, I'm going to say these type of things. But any person who wants to see, that's the idea of having a rav and a friend to speak out that they can guide him in his way. It's very famous, the moshul for Shalom used to say. Shalom said about this guy, he had drinking problems. He liked to drink a very lot. But it was getting pretty embarrassing for his kids already. He used to go out every night, he used to come back. People were talking. It wasn't very good. Right? They tried all different types of things. It wasn't working. So they took him to the Rav. And they told the Rav the story. They said, listen, we're embarrassed. What should we do? So the Rav sits down. They try coming to something. It's very difficult. They come out in the end with a promise. The father promises that he will not drink wine until he has a visitor. You won't drink wine without a visitor. I'll only drink wine if I get a guest. Brilliant. The father goes out. He's thinking, what have I done to myself? What have I put myself into? But that's what he said. So he goes home, and the first day is perfect. He manages, it's brilliant. Comes the second day, he's getting jittery, he's nervous. He's walking up and down. He goes to the wine cupboard. It's just not going for him. And he's looking around, no guests. He feels like a Romovino. He's desperate for guests. I'd love guests. I've always wanted guests. He opens his door. He looks around. There's no one coming. He's like, you know what? Someone might come all of a sudden. Let me prepare it at least. He goes to the cupboard. He takes out a bottle of wine, two nice big glasses, obviously. And he's looking out the windows. Any second someone can come. You know, I'll pour the wine out. So he pours the wine out. He's got the cups of wine in front of him. He's got his sinus in front of him. And it's just looking too good. And there's no one coming. And he's standing there, suddenly. And he turns around and he sees a fly. He's like, ah, how are you? Long time no see. He sees this tremendous fly. Me and the fly have been so close for so many years. Come inside, sit down, have a l'chaim. A minute later, he sees the fly buzzing over the wine. You want more wine? Of course, I have more wine. The guy's having the time of his life. He looks, says Rav Shalom, what's this guy doing? He's not silly. The guy's got a brain in his head. It's very simple, says Rav Shalom. This guy's got a rotzen. He wants wine. And in order, but he had a promise. He promised he won't drink wine without a guest. So what should he do? Says Rabbi Chanan, his ritzoinus are so powerful that when this fly comes in, even though logic dictates that wasn't the guest that he meant, but defying all logic, His rock says, come along and said, yes, that was the guest you meant. You said guest. Who said guest has to be a human being? It could be an animal, it could be an insect. What's the problem? His rotten has been misgabir over his Yetzirah, says Rabbi Elchanan, and therefore caused him to go along and do this thing. The Gemara actually says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, unbelievable Gemara. On Rav Yudam Arav says, Yodin hoyu Yisrael ba'avodas kechomish ein ba'mamish. Klal Yisrael knew that Avodah Zarah, there's nothing to it. They knew it was rubbish. They knew there was nothing to it. But what? You know why they served Avodah Zarah, says Rabbi Yudam Arav? Because they wanted to fulfill their ritzoinus, to be with our royis. That's what Rabbi Yudam Arav says. And Rashi explains that what? Shehoya Yitzron tukfan al arroyis. They had a massive Yetzirah for arroyis. They wanted arroyis. Not us. The Torah says he can't do arroyis. No, it's fine, don't worry, because if we go to Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah doesn't stop such a thing. So we'll move over, we'll go over to Avodah Zarah. Now there's nothing stopping us from fulfilling our desires, because in the Hilchos Yetzirah, in the Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that God allows you to do what you want. The Hainu Vidom Rav is telling us that even when a person knows that he's not allowed to do something, but his rotzen could be so strong. He knows you're not allowed to be with Arroyos. He's got a tremendous rotzen to be with Arroyos. So what does he do? He goes along, he says, you know what? It could be, I'll go with Avodah Zarah. And even though he's got no interest in Avodah Zarah, but Avodah Zarah allows me to be with Arroyos. He's gone to be with Avodah Zarah. This is the Yasod that the Gemara is telling us, what Rabbi Chanan is saying. I'll put it in for a classical scenario. We're going along, we've gone to Israel, we've come back from Yerushalayim, we've got the black porcelain, it's looking brilliant. We're walking along on Friday night and the wind blows and whoops, it goes, falls into the sand. There's a dot of dust on it. So you've got two choices. Am I allowed to take the dust off or not? Either you could turn around, there's a guy next to you, he knows halacha, just ask him. Ah, no, it's possible. It's not stuck into it, it's just like this, and it goes off. And who said it's still a rice? It could be still a bonon. And it's double shayna mischavad, and kovita buyois, and mistama, all those things together could be a star. Since when are you such a pocky halacha that you know all these things? Why don't you ask the guy next to you? He knows. So just go along and ask him. Says Rabbi Elchanan, what's the vot? The vot is that you know that guy knows, but you don't want to ask that guy, because you know that there's a shayna here. Therefore, you don't want to go and ask him. So what does your rotzen do? Your rotzen tells you, oh, it's fine, don't worry about it. You can rely on all these attainments you never even knew existed before, but you can rely on all these attainments. That is what Rabbi Chonos is telling us. Rabbi Chonos has one yisod, that a person has ritzoinus and the person has his seichel. The ritzoinus of a person are mighty, they're powerful, and they're so mighty that they can overcome the seichel and make the seichel thing. You come to a person, you say, you know you're doing wrong. He looks at you, you're such a frummer. You don't know what you're talking about. The guy who's shouting at you that you're a frummer, he really believes that you're a frummer. He doesn't have he's doing wrong. Why? You're doing wrong. It's clear. Ask any guy you're doing wrong. The answer is because his rotzen is so powerful, it's taken over his seichel. And therefore his seichel is telling him that 2 plus 2 equals 5. That Rabbi Zalman used to say that the very famous story, with he quotes it in his Evan Ozel, he quotes, someone came to a gong and he said to the gong, he was actually a frum guy who went off. And he said, listen, I'll be honest with you, I was a frum guy, a proper yeshiva man, everything was going brilliant. I had too many questions. And the guy looks at him and says, I hear, you had too many questions. Just tell me one thing. When did the questions come? After you went off or before you went off? Then what was he trying to say? I'm sure you got questions, and I'm sure they're brilliant questions. But were these questions the questions that caused you to go off? Or did you go off because you had the rots and then therefore you found questions to blame it on? That is what Rabbi Chanan is telling us. That's what we say in Hagadol Shel Pesach, actually. Rosh Hashanah or Yemei, what does the Rosh Hashanah say? The Rosh Hashanah says... If you look at the loshen now, it's gone out of my head. Leficha hoitzi atzoy min haklal kofa beika. So he says, Emanuel says he got the wrong way around. First he was kofa beika. First he denied, and then he was hoitzi atzoy min haklal. He had questions. He was kofa beika. And then he was Hoytziyat Smoy. As a result of having questions, he went out. He says, no. Hoytziyat Smoy Nakal. He had Tithers, he had Ritzidus. Then he was Kafab Ika because he had to have an excuse to relate on. That's the assault that we have to take with us as Rabbi Chanan. Sheikhad is not a monetary law only. There's something behind it as well, something which applies to us in our daily lives. That we have Ritzidus and we have a Seichel. The Ritzidus mustn't take over our Seichel. Sheikh. Yeah.